Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Well, Miles, we are so excited to be joined by today's guest. He is the hilarious, the brilliant, all of it. You know, he works outside of the bounds of the English language. He is Ryan Singer, aka Bad Moon Rising.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. Hey, and man. Steph Curry, the most piercing, beautiful eyes any basketball player. It is one of those things where it's like, oh, you just got it all. Right. And he can golf. And
even when he chews on that mouthpiece, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
What
yeah.
is it about you, Steph?
His golf swing is prettier than PGA players' golf swings. Like, it's like,
really?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Like, are we talking Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods level?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely Tyler Woods.
Have you guys heard about this Tyler Woods guy?
So we're saying he's on par with this Tyler Wood guy, huh?
That feels like an Adam Sandler like spinoff movie. Like, you know, like Happy Madison, like Tyler Woods shows up.
Yeah. I love the adding on or removing an S from the end of a last name that doesn't.
Oh, yeah. That's like the old black grandparent thing.
Tyler Wood.
Yeah, or just changing something to possessive or plural.
Right. My dad calls Brad Pitt Brad Pitts. Well known.
Steph Curry has that arm straight in the back.
Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it? Like, he's not as good a golfer as like a PGA golfer, but like, he makes it look better than them.
He respects the form. Good for him. He respects our wonderful golf courses.
Thank you.
Or necessities.
Yes. Important to any community to just have that dividing line where big business goes to make decisions about
to plot
the future.
Against working people.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan, what's new with you, man? Where are you? You in LA?
I'm in Dayton, Ohio right now.
Hey!
With the family.
With the Flyers.
With the Flyers. Oh, man, the Flyers had the national championship wrapped up a year ago. COVID took away the number one seed from the UD Flyers in the NCAA men's basketball tournament last year. But, hey, yeah, we know in our heart of hearts that the Flyers would have, you know, been cutting down the nets out of the 68 now or 66?
Yeah, 68, I think.
68, so.
Yeah, one short of being cool.
But anyway, yeah, so the Flyer pride is strong as ever around these parts. So it's always nice to come back and, you know, see all that. But hanging out here.
Jack, you were giving blood offerings, right? Around that time?
Yeah. Maybe the karma would have been better if you guys hadn't put for sale signs on my family's front yard and literally run me out of town when I was 11 years old, you bastard. You know,
come on, look what you did to him. He became a podcaster because of that.
I don't know.
You know, and to be fair, I was not for that decision.
Right.
If you remember, Jack, I took some of the signs off your yard.
Right.
Right after I staked them in the ground. I was like, you know what? This doesn't feel right. This kid's 11 and he's crying in the window.
Yeah.
It's like the one thing I shouldn't say that. I don't want to come off as talking badly about where I grew up, but it is one of the, let's just say, one of the biggest things that people around here, really take pride in and get fired up. It's like the Wright brothers.
Yeah, the Wright brothers.
And it's the Flyers.
It should be funk music too. Funk music was born in Dayton.
Exactly. And there's I think the knowledge of that, like once people realize it, then it kind of clicks in for them. But there's a statue downtown somewhere of an ice tray.
Uh-huh.
Like an ice cube tray, because I think the person who invented the ice cube tray is from here.
There's
this weird ice cube.
It's like, actually, there's a guy in North Carolina who claims that he invented it, and there's just like the Wright brothers.
Yeah. Right. Wait, are you serious?
Well, no, because the Wright brothers, a controversy over whether it's Dayton or North Carolina. Not really controversy, it's just they both lay claim to the legacy of
Flight. And that argument plays out on the license plates of each state, as I think First in Flight is North Carolina and birthplace of aviation is Ohio. So it's a real
Ohio's got some definite claims to just aviation greatness. Like most of the early astronauts and like a lot of the first people to do anything in the sky were all from Ohio. It's just randomly like a hotbed for, I think, because people just want to get the fuck out of there. So they're just please let me leave Ohio and rocket into the sky in the most dramatic fashion possible.
Emo Phillips has the best joke about Dayton, Ohio I've ever heard in my life.
Is he from Dayton?
No, he's not. And that's what makes it even crazier. I'm not going to do my Emo Phillips voice because it would be doing him disservice. But he says he opens his set like this was years ago. I saw him at Wiley's Comedy Club downtown Dayton, and he just opens up. He gets on stage. He opens up. He goes, "Dayton, Ohio, the birthplace of white flight," and it was just like, "Oh my god!" Like,
yeah.
And the white audience was just like, "Wait, what'd you say?
Wait, what the fuck?"
And it was just like, oh, "Okay, too real." Even though Emo is surreal.
Okay, fuck it. Let's talk about the Pine Club, huh? What's up with that steakhouse, huh? Isn't that pretty good? We can do some local material then. What's up with hot burritos?
When I lived in Dayton, the things that we had to lay claim to was, the Flyers were, there was a reason people were putting signs on our front porch. The Flyers sucked when my dad coached there. They were really bad. So we had other things that
Your tormentors, Jack.
No, they were right.
Old guy?
No, they were right. My family sucked. We should have moved before.
We should have left sooner. We shouldn't even came.
But there was a lot of people claimed that Dayton was the murder capital of America. Is that a thing that you remember, Ryan, at that time?
Like, I remember.
Per capita, we actually have the highest murder rate. Like, that was like a cool thing to claim.
It's like, it's ebbed and flowed, too. Like, Dayton still has a little bit of, the opioid crisis here is, like the heroin problem is pretty substantial. And there's like this weird sense of pride. Like, but I remember the murder capital thing. I remember also the drug capital of the country because Interstate 70 and 75, they intersect.
That's right. That's the lore.
So it's like, that's where
that's
all the drugs.
That's the second sentence after. Yeah, I'm from Dayton. Oh, yeah, we're murder capital of the world. But, it's because the two interstates cross right there. And
all the drifters and serial killers and drug traffickers, they all come through Dayton. You know,
right.
they all have their picture on the wall at the Marion's Pizza and or the Pine Club.
Yeah, Marion's Pizza.
But yeah, I remember a lot of that, like that weird downtrodden pride almost, like you can step on us, but we're not dying.
Yeah.
It's that kind of like that Midwestern pride of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like when I meet like white people from Youngstown, they got the same energy too.
Yeah, I think there's a
like,
lot
fucking
of towns.
Youngstown, man. This shit ain't a game. I'm like, whoa, okay.
I've talked to other people who said that their town like laid claim to something similar, like murder capital of like the region or something like that. So yeah, there is like a sort of fucked up pride that I think when you're from a town that I don't know, most people haven't heard of, that's like you just anything to put you on the map.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've always had this theory that the less, and I don't, this I'm going to come off like an asshole, I think, but the less you accomplish as a person, the further away your pride gets, right? Like if I've never accomplished anything, oh, I got an uncle, you know, I got an uncle who was famous for blah, 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 blah. But if you don't have an uncle,
oh, right.
You know, now you got like, oh, there's a guy from my hometown who invented the ice cube tray. But if there's nobody from your hometown, it's like, well, Ohio's the birthplace of flight. And then if you don't have anything, you're like, well, America's the best country. You know what I'm saying? And now it's like, well, there's nothing in America to be proud about. So it's like, well, you know, the Western hemisphere is really killing it out here.
Western Europe.
Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah, so it's like the further away you get from like your, I guess it's like Kevin Bacon accomplishments, like how many degrees of separation are you away from pride is what you take it
six
at.
Degrees of Dayton.
Six degrees of Kevin Dayton.
Right Pat Air Force Base. That's the big thing in Dayton. And we'll probably talk about aliens later, but like, boom. I mean, we all know what happens down there.
Yeah. Most people who are born and raised in Dayton are at least like, you know, 20%. Extraterrestrial because of Wright Pat, you know.
Oh hell yeah!
We know it's in the water. We know what they do to us when we're being delivered in the Miami Valley hospitals.
You know, there's being beamed up to that research vessel.
Yeah, you don't think that they're putting a little alien DNA in there? You're crazy, man. What is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are, what you're up to?
I was looking up Sea Pair because Anna and I, we do a show called Deckheads Chief Stews on Tuesday nights. Anna Hosnia, fellow Zeitgang affiliate, and we were talking about like pear soda.
Ooh.
And because we drink weird things on the show because it's on Twitch, we like to drink weird things out of martini glasses, and I bought a pear soda at a Armenian market, but I sent her a picture of something else that was like a sea buckthorn drink, and she was like, "Is that pear?
What is that?
No.
What are those words?
Would you say a sea buckthorn?
Yeah, yeah. So then I was like, sea buckthorn is a plant. It's like underwater berries.
Okay.
And people drink it. People make a juice out of it and drink it.
Wow.
So yeah, sometimes I was looking up a lot of like weird juice.
Why can't I imagine anything being like sweet that comes from the ocean? I guess because everything's just so salty.
I don't know that there. It is sweet. I think it's like weird and tangy, and it's more about the supposed health benefits. I had never heard of it as a plant, but apparently it's like the number one health drink in like Russia and Ukraine.
Oh, awesome. I feel like we gotta... There's got to be like some piece of good news where they like discover, oh shit, this is this thing that lives in the Mariana Trench is the like most healthy plant.
Yeah, it's supposed to be good for heart health, allegedly, but it's one of those things where it's like there's no real proof, you know?
Right. Yeah, right.
But maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I feel good. So yeah, am I just going to draw that connection?
Yeah,
there it is.
No, I do feel like it's like whenever they find a plant in the rainforest and it's like it cures some very specific disease, you know, and you're like, why would that be true? Why would there be a plant that just has something in it that's like good for that disease? Nature's amazing.
Yeah. Who'd have thought?
Tori, what is something you think is overrated?
Something that I think is overrated right now. I'm really struggling with this because I'm in such a like bad, like dark spot with all of the policing. So I'm going to say policing.
No, that's
overrated.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you talked about this, but like the Capitol Police requested like a bajillion more dollars because their tech, again, is not up to par. And that's the reason why the insurrection happened and all of their like whiny bullshit excuses. And I'm just not here for any of that. And like, who else gets to say, I suck at my job objectively? Like, please look at my data. This is the results that I'm giving you. And $100 million
more? Yeah.
Let's you know do
what
that.
You know what would fix this? $100 million.
More money. Well, the thing was, I don't know if you saw, I know that the auditor or that audit of what happened said, we haven't even been trained on equipment we bought 3 years ago. The manufacturers told us we needed training on. And that's why we became white supremacists that sympathized with the insurrection on January 6th and then let everybody in, Your Honor. Okay. Right. Like, it's truly some shit where you're like, yo, you couldn't have fucked that up more.
Yeah, you know, no
and
way.
You're like,
no
God, need more money, need more money.
We're not supposed to take selfies with the people who are armed and trying to overthrow the government.
Well, you know, my phone was broken, so I had to use theirs.
I did not have that specific training.
Right.
You know what I was just thinking about was, you know, as the police are like, oh, who's going to respond to like these armed conflicts or like armed criminals who are intent on pulling off a crime? I was thinking of the North Hollywood shootout and, you know, that is the basis for Heat, and just like kind of reading back over news stories from the time. And it's what, like, I think I've underestimated the media's role in like this whole police and police military industrial state, because that shootout was like fun for the local news. That was huge ratings, and the stories covering it at the time go from, you know, there were 2,000 rounds fired in a public place, 8 civilians were harmed, and the response is, well, the police just need bigger guns.
Yeah, like, you know let me tell you something. My display name on Twitter, Hideo Noho, okay? Because I'm from fucking North Hollywood.
Exactly.
I was in school. The fucking bank they robbed up the street from my school, and we had to fucking lay down because you could hear all the gunfire from the shootout. And the story was, the cops don't have enough assault rifles, so they had to go to B&B Guns in Van Nuys and buy all their assault rifles so they could fight fire with fire. And yeah, it was like the way the news was treating it was like, it was almost that point where car chases were big, baby. We love car chase. You know, we love more seeing somebody in body armor squeezing off a fucking chopper at a bunch of cops and then showing like when the dude, I remember on the news, we had the shit on like the rolling cart TV because we're like, is this shootout going to get near our school? And we saw the guy get killed when he was walking down the street from the helicopter. We're like, yo! And our teacher's like, okay, we got to turn this off.
Right.
They're like, you just saw that dude get domed from a helicopter. Maybe this isn't good TV. Right. But yeah, it's just one of those things too. Where it's like, what was that for? It was like, it's like suddenly
it was money.
Yeah, right. Everyone became John McClane and shit. And they're like, oh no, you're not getting away with a 60, however much money they had.
Right. With money. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why fire the first shot at them? Why not?
Money.
Just, right. It's just money.
You think you can steal that money?
I mean, that's.
That shit was so scary.
Yeah. I think either on this show or the Crack podcast, we talked about like the sort of sea change that people are trying to get to happen around car chases, like you mentioned.
Right.
And just like, just let them go. Just fucking let them go. Like, you'll figure it out at a later time. And it all comes back to that fucking broken windows policing where it's like, if we don't catch them now, and it's just complete junk science. It's complete bullshit.
It has no basis in reality because all the data that we have shows that over-policing for small crimes leads to an uptick in bigger crimes, right? Because people are desperate and they're trying to escape whatever situation they're in that they don't have resources for. Yeah, it doesn't work. It actually makes us less safe, but you know, whatever, the cops are the good guys, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I think the only thing we can just keep hammering away on for people who don't understand is like, we have to redefine what crime is, or people need to begin to rethink what crime is rather than like, there's nasty motherfuckers out there that are trying to get you.
and we need the boys in blue rather than like we have failed an entire segments of the population. And
it's incredible and because
no
like,
option.
Crime has been going down, right? Like crime's been going down since the 90s, early 90s.
Yes.
And it has nothing to do with policing.
Yep.
Like crime would have gone down regardless. So I think that like, but they keep advocating for like this whole, we need this infusion of cash because we need to put all of these people in prison for, you know, however long. And it's, but there's this the Fox News narrative of Black Lives Matter is going to come to your house and knock down your door and shoot you in your bed because we care about like random or Antifa, whoever it is.
Because that's what we do to civil rights leaders.
Right, exactly. Right.
Oh, I mean,
But that's the internalized white supremacy and knowing the evil of it, knowing that there's an evil there and like not being able to reconcile that and knowing, okay, this is what we do. So if we accuse them of doing that, then
that'll resonate. Yeah,
and that'll,
I think that they can't see us as anything but the inverse of themselves.
Right.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why everything to do with any kind of liberation of Black people or any oppressed group is about this inversion of power that they think
it's Black
inherent.
Supremacy, quote unquote. Right. No. If they're not on top, then we are on top.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There are two movies that are nominated for Oscars that talk about the assassination of Fred Hampton. And sure enough, the one by Aaron Sorkin, like they say it's an assassination, but they also say that he was like shot in the shoulder and therefore like couldn't have shot back at the police. He was knocked out by a drug cocktail like that. It's just wild that that isn't like front and center. Like they drugged him. Yeah. And he was passed out in his bed when they shot him in the back of the head.
Oh, Aaron's. Yeah, I like Sorkin. Sorkin the boot.
Yeah.
Got here with that shit.
Roy, what's something you think is underrated?
Do I want to say therapy or do I want to say bike riding? You know what's underrated? Calling motherfuckers you ain't talked to in a long time.
Mm.
Like, that's one.
Mm-hmm.
Find 15 minutes for someone you haven't talked to in a year.
I've got a list like 15 long.
I'm sorry to get deep like that.
No.
Seriously, like that's where I am. And it's probably been the coolest thing to just talk and just reconnect with people and, you know, just try to be some degree of human, if you will. I know it's a hassle. I know it's a pain in the ass. So do it while you do other things.
Right.
Like, that's my thing while I'm playing something brainless, you know, doing PlayStation or whatever. Or if I'm at the park watching my boy, he's out there with his friend. So all I have to do is look at him and make sure he's not snatched or hurt.
Right.
So that's the perfect time to call an old classmate from somewhere. And so, you know, that's the type of stuff that I like to do. And I'm finally realizing, oh, wow, this is meaningful and life is precious.
Yeah. Especially, like being locked down and stuff and not really having the same sort of social connections. It's funny, too, because there are times I would get a call from somebody who was doing that to me. They're like, oh, I'm gonna hit Miles up. And I'll see a name come up like, fuck, I haven't talked to this person in fucking a year. And I was like sweating. Almost, because you're like, fuck, what am I going to say? Like, what the fuck? We don't have this awkward conversation.
What do they want from me?
And then you pick up and it's like we left off for exactly where we were, however long ago it was. And we spoke for 40 minutes straight because it was so effortless. Yeah. And that was one of those moments too. I was like, fuck, man, I'm out here creating stress about this when it's actually such a like rejuvenating thing to even begin talking to your friends again, or even people like you're saying that you haven't spoken to in a while.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, be careful. Some of them motherfuckers want money. Sorry.
Luckily, this person had more money than me. So I was like, I'll ask them for money.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm going to try and just listening to you talk. The next time I'm thinking of interacting with a bunch of people I don't know, like on Twitter, like posting something on Twitter, reading a bunch of tweets, I'm going to call somebody I do know or used to know. Because, it definitely gives you life as opposed to slowly sapping your will to live.
Yeah.
Like Twitter does sometimes. All right, let's take a quick break, and we're going to be right back to talk some news.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and let's talk about Netflix real quick. There was an interview with the guy who was calling the shots at the time when, is it still the same dude?
I think so.
Ted Sarandos.
Yeah.
Yeah, so someone was interviewed and was like, how did you come up with this brilliant idea of binge listening? Like, how did you predict that was the direction people wanted to go in? With our viewing habits, what was the stroke of genius?
Jack into the Matrix,
yeah,
and then predict this.
And his answer is,
dude, his answer is so fucking like why we just think like these people are so next level geniuses and they're just like idiots who just fell upon a solution. Yeah,
wow.
He said, "I never even thought about it." So the reason they're talking was because of House of Cards, that before this, they were sort of lauding how House of Cards really changed the paradigm by dumping it all. But if we're going to really speak facts, it's Lilyhammer. Okay. Right. Lilyhammer did it first with Steve Van Zandt.
Honey,
Yeah.
DVDs did it first.
Right.
TV marathons of road rules over the weekend were are the forefathers of this binge.
Okay,
movement.
I'll give but, it up. Yeah, I'll give it up.
In this sense, he said, talking about House of Cards, says it was the happy accident of happy accidents. When we finished the season of House of Cards, we were about to launch. Somebody asked how we're going to put it out. We had a meeting and they asked, how are you going to release it? I said, how do you mean? And they said, one a week, 4 a month. I said, well, everything on Netflix, we got it a season after it was on TV and we put up the whole season. And I said, well, we can't have one show that comes out one a week and everything else all at once. So let's just release it all at once. And that's how we did it. It was like how casual the answer was. It was like,
so yeah, that's how that happened.
Oh. As a writer, I want to take a pencil and push it directly through my eye. Tell creators how the audience is going to receive the media. House of Cards happened to be an exceptional bingeable show, basically a movie made by a movie maker. It's like lucky House of Cards. But right. Man, American TV, writers never know how long it's going to go. They don't know really how things are going to air on streamers. So like, it is very difficult to deliver to the audience an end product when you're guessing at how they're going to get it. Even more than like writing for another director's vision, there's like that. But then how does it even get to folk? That's just so frustrating that like executives don't consider how people watch.
Wait, how we get Breaking Bad the whole season? Okay, do same for House Cards.
All of it.
What?
That wasn't a plan in like the creation of the show is crazy. That they didn't already. Netflix is still a mailing series. You were going to be sending DVDs out. Was it of one episode? You had physical media to make this decision. Right. An order had to be made.
I think the one thing that was probably good on his end was like earlier in this interview, he's talking about like how they arrived at making originals is because they're like, shit, this is picking up steam and it's good for now. But when they realize how much money we're making, all of the other studios are going to start making their own shit. So we got to get aggressive with originals like fucking now.
That is really like, okay, cute, Miles. But you know, a pile of cash hit the laundromat. That's like a nice backstory. But right. Netflix isn't a mystery when you sniff. Like, come on.
No, I mean, like, you're thinking like
somewhere.
It's all
$25 million very... had to get clean and David Fincher's phone number was on auto dial somewhere.
They're like, hey man, can you turn this around pretty quick? They're like, yeah, what's Robin Wright doing?
Yeah, no problem.
Get her on the
Crown
phone.
Prince with a gold DVD on a wall somewhere.
Oh yeah, wow.
What? Okay. I'm sorry, I'm not in LA right now, so I feel just very free. It's
no,
great.
That's fine. I mean, I wish we could turn
vertically
down
integrated business. I can say whatever I want. I can't. Please, Netflix, I'll do anything you want. I did a reality show for you. I never would again.
Right. Where's my Saudi funding? Where is it? Bring it forth, Mohammed bin Salman, please. But yeah, I mean, I think the one thing, though, I mean, aside from the origins of it, though, is truly like it's wild to think 2013 was like the start point of it sort of formally becoming this thing where it's like, yeah, this is how we're just going to do shit now. Just dump it on people. But it has given me just the ability because of, I think to your point, Caitlin, like DVDs before, like when you'd be like, oh, I don't really watch that show. And then you had the fan friend who's like, here, take 900 of these DVDs now so we can talk about this. And I'm like, fuck. All right, fine. This like now with binge watching, like that was, I was able to like get into a show much quicker because before when you were sort of beholden to like the flow of the broadcast schedule, I would quickly become cynical. I'm like, man, fuck that show. I don't care. But it's mostly because like I haven't seen anything and I don't have the time to be able to watch it all.
HBO still does the weekly thing every once in a while, right?
Yeah, yeah. No,
and
they do
still care about ratings, which is so bizarre to me because I mean, I guess as an elder millennial, again, 40, I'm the spear tip of the millennials into everything. We don't care about when something's on. I don't know anybody who isn't a parent of someone my age that is still concerned about when something will come on.
Right.
No.
What's a watch on demand world?
Yeah. Being tethered to some day, unless it's like maybe like some of the trash reality shows that like, I love to watch the second it comes out. But other than that, yeah, it's completely irrelevant.
My parents asked
me
what
time for cool storytelling.
Daily Zeitgeist is on.
Oh man.
That was cute.
That is the
and
cutest.
You said it can just subscribe, Ma.
Well, speaking of parents, you can probably hear a car start outside the garage, which, you know, I could be like, gee, guys, except they gave me their garage, so their cars live outside. So you hear the faint sound of a Subaru roaring in the background. Know that my family is going to gather some food since I haven't grown anything yet.
Oh, you failed them. You failed them, Skaitlin.
I have. I failed as a provider. Skaitlin needs to get on her board and start shredding for likes so she can monetize this.
Do you still shred, Skaitlin?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm vicious on a board. Come on. No, I don't.
Go on.
Certainly not during a pandemic. I can't be falling on my coccyx and needing the services of tire paramedics.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that.
Let's talk really quickly about junk food vaccination promotions, because so the world is dealing with a shocking imbalance in vaccine distribution. As many as 60 countries, including some of the world's poorest, are probably going to be stalled at the first shots of the COVID-19 vaccinations until as late as June, because the whole delivery process and just capitalist, like, global market ethos is bullshit. Meanwhile,
I feel like Salk is going to come back and give us all polio for this. I feel like
you should.
It's deserved.
But meanwhile, in the U.S., there have been several promotions to encourage vaccination. Most famously, Krispy Kreme is offering a free donut a day to get the vaccination, which prompted a backlash, since eating a donut a day would
make you a cop.
Yeah, and also be more likely to kill you than COVID. And then,
okay, first of all, donuts and cops are together because donut shops are open 24 hours. That is a service to all of us, not just police officers. Anyone can go get a donut anytime. It is a great equalizer, and donuts shall not be maligned on my watch. No way.
No, I'm not maligning a donut.
Anything evil. And if a donut a day is what somebody gets a vaccination to get a donut today and eat it, that person is hungry, and there are bigger problems to solve. True. If we're worried about hungry people getting food, we don't get to care about what food it is. If Krispy Kreme's going to do more for hungry people that are vaccinated than the government is, then fucking send them a wheel of cheese, then, if you're worried about it.
Who was that? It was like some fitness person who was like being like, oh, a donut a day?
I don't know. Yeah. Sam Adams jumped in. Sam Adams is giving people a free pint or a free beer for getting for their vaccine cards.
Great. It's like we literally have to, it's like truly a carrot on a stick.
Right.
People say, hey, vaccine. What do you want? Beer? What do you want? Yeah. A donut? What do you want?
Dispensary,
fucking beef jerky?
They're giving pre-rolls with proof of vaccination in Michigan.
I love it.
And in China, they're doing buy one, get one free ice cream cones. And they're doing that in Russia too. You get ice cream you got a little treat. It's just the most, this story like made me view America like view the world like we're just in a giant Skinner box where people are just like, where do we move the treats for now to get the people to move right where we want them to?
Donut, vaccine.
I think that the Venn diagram of people who get vaccinated for a donut is very small. There is a circle of vaccinated people, and there is donuts. And when that little circle meets, like, everybody wants a donut. I just love this thing that, like, a donut a year is a funny idea. I don't know who's going to take advantage of it.
Right.
But, like, you go once. Like, you go get your one treat, presumably.
Yeah.
I think this is weird. It's very capitalist, just trying to get a little, like, I can see it, you know, maybe on my site. Show me your vax card, 10% off. I'd do it. It's like,
right.
Yeah.
I can see it as a desperate company ploy to like be of this moment in this thing we're all sharing.
Yeah. It's to generate stories like we're doing right now.
It's just fine. Yeah. I would love to go to a dispensary that gives me a joint because I'm vaccinated. That feels good.
Yeah.
I'll take some ice cream. Thank you. Yeah. My arm hurts. It's been a long year.
Yeah. Israel, meanwhile, there's, you know, many of the people are already vaccinated. They're trying to get some of the younger people to get vaccinated with some pop-up vaccine centers that have free pizza, that have DJs that they've hired to create a festive atmosphere. They set up one clinic in a literal bar with the promise of free drinks to those who got vaccinated. But apparently they're non-alcoholic drinks, but I feel like that comes with a heavy
weight. Hey, why don't you come by the bar? You can get vaccinated and then you're going to vote for BB. All right. Yeah. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to have the DJs come by. It's going to be lit, everybody. You got to come down, all the kids, to Tel Aviv.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you know, they're contriving gimmicks to get people vaccinated, but Palestinians have only received enough vaccines for just over 4% of the population. So that's...
Yeah, and meanwhile, we'll have the people in Congress will continue to debate, what is an apartheid state really, though?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I didn't even spell that. All right, let's move on to something else that won't move.
I don't know.
The
There's
needle.
A TH in there. It's too much. What else can we do today?
Wait, it's not thighed? Oh, no.
Let's push that bill for another minute.
I can't deal with that right now.
Well, speaking of things that remain legal and things that will be made illegal, Florida is moving forward with its Combating Violence, Disorder, and Looting and Law Enforcement Protection Act.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're you know, making it illegal to exercise your First Amendment rights by essentially saying, like, let's protect the police so that way anyone else that doesn't like it when poor people and allies get together to voice their displeasure, they can just do whatever the fuck they want and make it mad illegal. This will just be great. This is how we combat any kind of progress. So the things that it's doing is essentially just makes it a third degree felony when seven or more persons are involved in an assembly and cause damage to property or injury to other persons. That's just how the fuck are you supposed to know anything about how a demonstration can go, or bad faith people who are just doing it on their own shit, whatever it is. There's no way to know. And to say, okay, now we're going to give all these people with felonies. On top of that, I think one of the things that's been pointed out for the most is about that essentially makes it legal to drive through people or a crowd if you feel like you're fleeing for your own safety from a mob, making the driver not liable for any injury or death. Like, it's the and also you can hit people with RICO charges if you organize or fund an assembly that goes disorderly or whatever. They're essentially saying, hey, we're here to completely dead this shit. So no matter what, you have the threat of a felony. We'll take your fucking benefits from you and your kids because you went to a protest. Those are the threats now hanging over people's heads.
Kind of seems like we live in a failed state.
Oh, 100%. Because I think the second you're saying, pointing out that things are bad is illegal.
Right.
Oh, that's what this shit, they said, if you want to come out and say, we don't like this shit, it's on. I mean, also, like, given how demonstrations go, when they say, if it gets violent or disorderly, it's usually the police. Instigate, kettle, and do whatever the fuck they gotta do to start turning shit up to justify whatever their own escalation is. So this is like, they've just created a feedback loop to be like, yeah, man, this is, if they're out there and y'all are out there, it's fucking on, and they're all getting felonies, and it's just whatever happens, fucking happens, because we've completely changed the law. And to take it to this point too, because it is a failed state, it is also, it's just like the last step in trying to preserve this myth that is central to policing, which is that investment in armed protectors is going to create the kind of safety that people desire or need, rather than giving everyone the peace of mind of being materially supported and taking away the chaos of lack, of needing, of not being supported. That is how you're going to create safety. Not, we need more fucking goons, man. That's the problem. Shit's gone out of control. It's not gone out of control. Y'all have fucked up so bad. You failed all these people, and you act why everybody is so upset because they don't have anything. So again, solving problems in America by just creating new ones and becoming a never ending revenue stream that gets just menial results. So
is this like is this going to be enacted into law like immediately, or how does that work? I mean, I'm assuming it will eventually succeed, but
yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's gonna be sent to his desk to be signed,
right?
So it will be signed into law. I mean, it's people are like, there's going to be a lot of lawsuits and shit. But yeah, it's the, you know, they control, the Republicans control the Florida Senate and House. So boom, boom, one after the other. So,
I mean, it's, again, there seems to be this overall structure where the police are so petty and so fragile. And if like somebody says something mean to them, they get to like start shooting at them with shooting projectiles at them that can crack their skull and shit. And like when you look at the number of police that shot and killed people, it was like close to 1,000 in 2020. When you look at the number of police that were shot and killed, there was like, I found this on like a police news site, and it was like 45. Unacceptable. This is like ridiculous. Like the, and it's just, there's this imbalance of like how they want things to be viewed that is obviously, yeah,
like all racists, they have a victim complex where they're right. like, I'm the real victim,
right?
Mm-hmm. In this situation, people right. calling me a racist is worse than me being one,
right?
Yeah.
Just, and yeah. also the Democrats aren't doing shit to stand up to the police either. That's the problem. No, also yeah.
no,
there's no opposition party.
No, and the ones that are even like to the left of Democrats, they just get shushed out, and they're just yeah. like, no, don't say that.
Yeah, we can't.
Like, we don't like that.
Yeah, because policing is also just intertwined with the history of slavery in America. So talking about police is just, it unearths a lot of stuff that, you know, the propaganda machine would prefer right. we not discuss, being integral to the financial success of America.
Much, yeah. Much like the Olympic torch marathon.
Pretty much. They're
don't
like,
don't look too far back why that started.
Look at the coordinated ceremony of everybody marching in lockstep.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I mean, again, this is just, it's all, we just run into the same fucking problems because capitalism won't allow for stability because there's no money in that.
Right.
And because of that, we have to come up with these ridiculous fake solutions that just cause more problems or just look different enough to like, oh, that's new. But you're just spending money on fucking robot dogs. Now, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Just like with climate change, like rather than properly investing in the shit that we needed to reduce emissions, we're more like, how, what kind of technologies can we use to fucking fight the earth? It's like, what the fuck are we doing?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Just so backwards at every step. And it, and you know, you'd hope more and more people begin to see the absurdity of it, because on its face, it's so absurd. Like there's nothing you can say that you're like, oh yeah, this is aligned to the solution.
Absolutely. No, everything not. Is so absurd, but it feels like dissent just keeps being criminalized. So it's like,
right.
What are you supposed to do?
Right. Right. I mean, hope, I don't know.
You do
know.
A goddamn podcast here on
Thank
independent
you.
Media where we can say.
Exactly. Whoops.
Fuck the police.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, at least say that here.
I was just thinking of when you mentioned the Olympic torch in the context of like profitability. I was just thinking back at like the one memorable moment from that was Muhammad Ali, like at the Atlanta Olympics, like running the final.
Oh, right.
Stretch, running the torch up to whoever like lit the arrow and fired it at the thing. Or maybe he actually ran right up to the torch. But it's just funny to think about like, that was when he entered his, it's been long enough that his radicalism is like now. Yeah.
Well, you see that happen. That they do that like with profitable. The Olympics a lot too, where they right. bring in people that, you know, the athletes who did the Black Power salute at the mm-hmm. Mexico Olympics, you know, obviously the Olympics John fucking Carlos. Hated that at the time. And also their police murdered a bunch of students during that one. But yeah, it's like if it's been long enough, then they try to co-opt it into the commercialism. I feel like we also saw this in real time last year with the Black Lives Matter movement being yeah. like co-opted by corporations, but like with no material with nothing, right. with just like a statement, but no, you right. know, nothing behind it, and trying to corporatize it in order to sort of neutralize it as an actual radical threat. That was wild to see happen so fast. And right, also people yeah. being pissed at it and being like, fuck this, you know.
Yeah.
That Pepsi fuck all these commercial companies. Was ahead of its time. Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And speaking of things that bite, I don't know, Quick Bites. Quibi is back.
I'm just bringing this up because it's really about what Quibi cost and then what they just sold everything for. Because Roku, who makes like TV, you know, Roku and all those little adapter sticks and all that shit, they bought all of the Quibi content. And they're like sort of repurposing it as Roku originals, and they're making their own like streaming content or whatever. But the reason I was like reading about it, because this was announced back in January that Roku might come through with it. Quibi cost $1.75 billion. Okay.
That's how much they put into production.
That's what they've been spending.
That's how much they raised to get Quibi completed, launched off the ground, marketed, everything. $1.75 billion. Okay, and this shit only lasted a couple months. The Wall Street Journal, there's a thing saying they sold it to Roku, quote, for significantly less than $100 million. So let's assume that's what, $60 million? That feels like significantly.
It's
got
to come back because Roku trying to flip that hundo.
Right. And now that's a 95% loss for Quibi. I just love that. I just love that shit. 1.75, like, fuck, man, will you pay 50 for it? I don't know, man, please.
I think that Quibi has an opportunity to come back because it was an app that was for the commuter and for people in the office sneaking and streaming at their desk. Commuting went away, in office work went away. Mm-hmm. So you're dead. Then they had that stupid tech thing where you couldn't watch the shit on a laptop or a TV.
Perfect.
And by the time they lifted that embargo, it was too late. Motherfuckers was on life support. So, you know, it was done deal. Vaccines flowing. What did Joe Biden say this week? 200 million got the shot. Mm-hmm. Or 200 million shots. I don't. You know what? Let me take that back. Maybe they might be padding the stats over there. Because 200 shots, it's technically 100 vaccinated. Because you get two shots. So you're counting both shots, Joe Biden. Anyway, motherfuckers are going back outside again. So if people are going back outside again, then I think that there's a chance that Quibi could come back. Also, the other thing that's happened in the same time, pretty much every streamer has raised their price or is planning to raise their price. And Quibi has enough star power. The only thing I watched on Quibi was Chrissy Teigen's courtroom show because, you know, I kind of like her. She's cool. Mm-hmm. And then there was a movie. They had like a movie that was split up into like 7 minute parts. And I was like, I made it through 30 minutes of that. And like, that was it. Like, I didn't really watch anything else over there. So I think if they come back cheap and they come back with names, they have a chance.
But I think that's the problem is they wasted all that money and they've sold all the IP. So I don't know what happens. Katzenberg is going to have to, I don't know, he'll just do another round of fundraising to try and get all that money going. But yeah, it was interesting because I think the one thing that they did have was like the aspect ratio of going from vertical to horizontal and stuff. And that would give you new things. I think that was legitimately an interesting thing. But yeah, to your point, like people also want to watch shit on a computer or a TV or whatever. And when you have stars you're used to seeing on that format.
All right, I rotate my phone. I can see more of the room that the actors are talking in. That, to me, was like, okay, that's cool, but it still boils down to what's the story on the screen.
It's like a porn animation.
But it rotates, Roy.
Is it good? Yeah, yeah. Oh, I can see you around the corner now.
Oh, it's a bigger conference room than I thought.
That part was cool, but I root for it to do well because the more places there are for content stories to be told, the more opportunities I have to get a check.
Exactly.
I've always been rooting for it. There's so many talented people who are getting paid, who are, you know, drinking up that $1.75 billion. It is also such a perfect example of like executive overreach and just putting one idea an executive had before any of the many, many things that you have to do to make something work. They were like, well, people like short stuff. And then, you know, meanwhile, YouTube is trending longer and longer. And Netflix, like the thing people are addicted to is like streaming shows that like keep you glued to your TV until 5 a.m. Like it was just, I remember that like when the web, like when putting content online first started, people were like, it's got to be 30 seconds or less, or else nobody's going to watch it. And like, they just stopped thinking about it at that point. They were like, all right, we gotta make it bite-sized content, for anybody to consume it in this fast-paced world. And people are like, no, we want relief from this fast-paced world.
The thing that's interesting about Quibi and Netflix, for that matter, a lot of the shows are written to deliberately cliffhang. So it's never supposed, even the comedies like that are kind of serialized, they deliberately want you to hit next episode. So you just, you're fucking rat pushing the cocaine button in that cage. Right. So it's like, that's what they want. But Quibi's going to need a flagship hit, you know?
Right.
You know, and that's difficult, especially at a time now where a lot of the sites are like, they're just basically remixing existing IP.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like pretty much every streaming site is like, what do we have that we already own? Fuck it. Do a new one.
Right. Yeah.
Build on that for cheap and then start doing new ideas. So, you know, I don't know. But if they're going to come back, they're going to need content. So if you're listening from Quibi, get at me.
Or Roku, whoever.
I would love to see Roku like just take off as like suddenly a really successful streaming platform that like is up there with Netflix and Quibi, like all the big ass executives who stake their career on Quibi are just, you know.
Shit bricks. Yeah, somebody has to get fired.
Yeah, see, get Roy a check. Call it, you know, branded as Roy-ku. You know what I mean?
There you go.
I will accept that.
There's a bone material right there.
Well, let's go from really bad ideas to really bad ideas. This is called. These are some frat sickles that Natty Light is creating. I don't know. I mean, you guys tell me what you think. So Natural Light has been, like, when I was in college, that was the beer of choice because it was like $4 for a 30 pack. And they were just like trying to give it away, basically. And it tasted bad, but like not so bad that it didn't get you drunk. And since then, they've apparently had some meetings where they're like, what if we did like a fruity beer that like tasted
youth
like
culture,
Kool-Aid?
Youth culture. Don't this ain't your uncle's beer.
Yeah.
It's your nanny's beer now.
I've also been on some RFPs from Natty Light where they're like trying to like brand themselves in an ironic way. It's
right.
Ugly. It's real weird.
And they had some weird like PR campaigns, like internships and things like that. But
yeah,
their first thing was like this Natter Days shit. There's like their fruity beer, strawberry lemonade or pineapple lemonade. It's like, okay, fine, whatever. I guess it's popular enough. I've never had it. It sounds like a better idea than those like sweet tea Truly seltzers, which I've had one of and immediately thought I was being poisoned. and now they have turned this into an 8% ABV popsicle, which right. sounds like a well dangerous done. Development.
I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, anytime you make alcohol easy to consume and anytime you make alcohol fun to consume.
Yeah.
Like stupid bendy straws or those long New Orleans right. hurricane cups that look like right. a fucking long ass water air traffic control tower, the long necks.
right.
You're gonna get into some trouble.
Right.
Like you're gonna get into some trouble.
Yeah.
There was Four Loko beforehand. Four Loko got everybody off the crazy colors, but you know, like I came up with like Mad Dog 2020 and right. all of that shit and all of that. Like there's
Bart James.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, it's just fruity, or it's St. Ides, the little right. fruity cooler cocktail joints or whatever. Isn't Natty Light like PBR's more refined cousin that like finished community college and is like, you know, a well-respected beer, but also a beer that exudes shots.
right.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I would. I don't know that it finished community college necessarily, but yeah,
it definitely lied about community college.
Yeah, it definitely
college.
Told their parents that they went
they
to
were going to college. and didn't tell their parents they were just sleeping in the car of a grocery store near the campus during class and then yeah. would drive back and say class was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and PBR told him so and said, you should have never lied. You should have just never went.
right. What do you know?
These are made, like, they might have had a, like, excess packaging at the Popsicle factory. Like, these look exactly like things that my 3-year-old and 4-year-old would be
right.
so hyped to get their hands on.
Oh yeah, yeah, this is right up there with candy cigarettes.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like, the old school.
How quickly
candy cigarettes still gave you cancer.
What's yeah. the over under on stories where a bunch of kids have found their kids Natter Days, their parents Natter Days popsicles and got just bent out of shape off of them? Like I feel like it's very quick because I, when looking at it, I had to look very closely to be like, where does it say this is alcohol? Like right. when you look at the packaging, but. Yeah, like you're saying, Roy, making it easier to consume, I think, is like this, like, because now we're going back to childhood where the popsicle is like, yes, I got a popsicle. And now we're adding alcohol to that experience. I don't know if there's another level that will inspire more childlike excitement than the popsicle.
They look like the squeezable yogurt tubes I give my boy.
Yes, right. Yeah. The Go-Gurts.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This shit looks like Go-Gurt, and I don't want him having some Natty Light. sending him out the door to 4-year-old pre-K. That's not good.
Like, Mr. Wood, we found something in your child's lunchbox just filled to the brim with Natter Days popsicles. Wait, what?
Those Go-Gurts?
Yeah.
Also, like, people aren't going to actually freeze these. I mean, like, responsible people will freeze these, but this just gives you a faster way to drink Natter Days, I'm assuming, and get drunk off of Natter Days.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really you know, how cool you look pulling one of these out of the cooler. That's another day, bro. Yeah.
Pass me a popsicle.
Check the meat on the grill. Are you grilling meat? Who wants a popsicle, boy?
Frat Brothers sucking on popsicles is a funny image to me.
Just replace all these party scenes with just frat boys just eating these popsicles and shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
what are you gonna do, like, a popsicle stand?
Doing the linking arms thing, but just sucking on a popsicle for like 45 seconds.
Them and sit on them and put them up their ass. Like, yeah. there would be some sort of ass shot,
right?
Remix with a pop, like whatever the beer funnel. What was that when people were dying a couple years ago from?
Yeah,
the,
butt chugging.
Yeah, butt chugging. This will be the new butt chugging.
Oh, right. It's just make a frozen butt plug. Like by like melting together like 50 of them things and be like, can you handle the mega plug of Natter Days? And you're like, oh my God. Yeah.
My insides are freezing.
Like, that's the point, bro.
Maybe this will bring back Bros Ice and Bros, though, which is, you know,
just leave it. I feel like we've just given someone, you should add a disclaimer right there, because I feel like we just gave someone an idea.
Yeah.
And they're going to take that to the front.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.